Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, supporting the next generation of farmers with the Fresh Roots Young and Beginning Farmer Program, offering lending assistance and learning incentives to equip today's newest farmers for a healthy start in their farming careers.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of September 2018. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you today from the iHotel here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, where the tax school is underway for those who prepare farmers' taxes. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks from Risk Pulse in Chicago will join us to discuss the weather forecast and talk about receipts at the Andersons right here in Champaign County and what cash grain basis is doing and their expectations for the first part of the harvest season. It'll all happen during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us at willag.org, and while you're there, you can make your pledge of financial support. I like the $120 level. It is Fall Pledge Drive Week here at Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We hear the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. December corn up 3.25. Its settlement price at $3.60.5. The March contract at $3.72.5, up 3.25. The May at $3.80.25, and the corn pit up 3. July up 2.5 at $3.85.75. And December of next year at $3.95.25, up 1.5 cents. The soy complex bean futures November contract down 6.25. The lead settled at $8.41. January 8.55.25, down 6, and the March contract 5.75 lower at 6.86.5. The May futures at 8.82, down 5.5 cents. July at 8.92.75, down 5, and the November beans at $9.10.5, down 2 cents. The bean oil futures 17 cents higher at 28.26. The bean meal at 304.70, down $1.20 for the day. Wheat futures in the December up 5.25 at 5.27. That's for the soft red. July at 5.59.25, up 3.5, and July hard red at 5.64.75, up 4 cents for the day. And the live cattle futures finished like this. Nearby October down 90 cents at $112.17.5 for 100 pounds. September at $156.45, down 50 cents. And lean hogs in the October contract, it settled at $61 even, up 70 cents. December futures there down 42.5. They settled at $56.97.5. This is Illinois Public Media. Hey, you know, we're starting our fall pledge drive today right here at Illinois Public Media, and it's important for you to help in the process, for you to participate with your pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming that comes to you from WILL. That might be on the air, on the web at willag.org, or is a podcast, or maybe you've signed up and use our newsletter. However you get the information, if it's important to you, please take some time right now and call 217-244-9455 and make a donation, or go online at willpledge.org and make a donation. In either case, make sure that you put either in the comments section or tell the person you're talking to that it's in support of agriculture, in support of agriculture. That's really important to do. I kind of like the $120 level. We're just getting started for the week, and it would be great to have a few under our belt by the time we get to the end of the closing market report. Make sure that you pledge right now, and if you're listening after the fact, right now means, well, right now. So go ahead and make that pledge, 217-244-9455. Here's one of the great things about Illinois Public Media. We don't spend money that we don't have. Here's how that works. Our fiscal year runs from July 1 to June 30, and everything we want to spend has to be in the bank in the previous fiscal year. That's right, what we're collecting right now, we won't spend until our next fiscal year. That means we're really fiscally responsible, but you have to participate because all we have in the bank is all we will spend for the year. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, or willpledge.org. And when you make that call or make that pledge online, let them know that it's in support of agriculture programming from Illinois Public Media. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at what's happened in the marketplace from the CME Group in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being here.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
You tell me it's been kind of a busy Monday. Why is that the case?
Well, several things. One's producers had a fairly active weekend of harvest activity, trying to get some more crop in here before the forecast of some rains. Starting out the week, we do have some precipitation in the southern part of the listing area, but the northern part's expected to have a little bit more activity before moisture comes across the Midwest. But news-wise, kind of looking at the administrative news, going home there late last week, there was some hope that U.S. and Chinese negotiators would get together. But news now is that since we implemented the $200 billion and talk of an additional $267 billion in being targeted in these tariffs, the Chinese are just completely walking away, not even interested in talking now. So that put the bean market 10 lower overnight. And lower starting the day trade as we went through the trade, beans mainly traded 5-6 cents lower. Not only on that news, but continued reports of fairly good yields across the Midwest. You know, hearing some cases of some 90 plus bushel beans, a lot of 75, 80 bushels in some areas. So we'll monitor those yield reports as we keep moving forward. The overall activity seems to be buying corn, selling beans, buying wheat, selling beans on the spread. And we'll see if that spread continues here or if we get a turnaround Tuesday on market action or not. Corn continues to hang in there. It seems not a whole lot of cash. Corn's moving. We're seeing end user interest in corn as I think we're going to come to a point in time in through here, even though we've got plenty of supply. End users will want to probably get some coverage on here as we start to get the mid part of harvest.
Yeah, just to recap what's happened with the trade war, and I think we can call that a trade war now, that the midnight deadline last night passed and the extra $200 billion has been put in place, and the Trump administration has threatened two different things if the Chinese were to respond, and they did with $60 billion, or at least I think they have at this point, with $60 billion going into immediate effect on tariffs. One was to, on that $200 billion worth of goods, to change it from a 10% to a 25% tariff. They have said that they'd hold off until January 1 for that to be the case. However, he's already opting to put in maybe another $260 billion in place. And if I remember correctly, the number's about $550 billion total that would be in place against that much goods coming into the United States. But that will have long time ago blown away the amount of goods that the Chinese could actually put an import tariff on coming into their country from the U.S. So where do we go from here now that we've run out of, I guess, on the Chinese side, some of the runway? They don't have anything else that they can really do.
Well, the key would be to watch and see if they up the percentage of the tariff on the products they've already put tariffs on. You know, we'll see how that unfolds as we move forward. But from an agricultural point of view, trade is sort of dialed in that they're going to buy some beans, not directly from the U.S., but like we saw last week, possibly from a second party such as Argentina. So we'll continue to monitor the news there to see if that develops. It's kind of a waiting game. I think the tariff is kind of old news. I think farmers are more interested in getting their check from the government here and get some bills paid, and that's probably be the main thing. As we move forward here, we'll see what this afternoon's crop conditions report shows and harvest progress. Harvest progress for corn is expected to be 16% complete as a nation. Last week we were at 9. Bean harvest about 13% versus 6% last week. Moisture readings continue to drop like a rock. In fact, some of the beans are a little too dry. Corn-wise, a lot of these moisture readings are coming in this 16% area. some a little drier than that. So the propane guy is probably going to be disappointed. He's not going to get a whole lot of propane sales this winter here or fall to dry down the crop, Todd.
Just to recap the market mitigation program that you mentioned, it would be 82.5 cents at this point for soybeans. That's on round one. On December 1 or sometime in the month of December, USDA says we'll know what the round two looks like. It's a half cent for corn, and round two for both of those commodities and all the commodities that are incorporated, including cotton, pork, and beef, could change on that date. But certainly I would think by basis level, maybe from the western to the eastern part of the Corn Belt, round two could change as to how much a producer could get. But at this point, 82.5 cents per soybeans, a half cent per soybean or for corn, and that's just on production as presented to FSA. And that round one is available as soon as the FSA numbers are put in place by the farmer. And it doesn't matter as well, Kurt, whether they have made pre-sales at those really good levels that you and all the rest of the folks were talking about in January and December and March at that $10.20 time frame. So that should all work out for them. Anything else that we ought to take up before I let you go for the afternoon? For instance, you have been telling us about African swine fever for a while. We'll hear more about that and the disease itself coming up on the program. Is there any news from China or Europe about its spread?
Just concerned about it, more additional reports. And to Chinese speak, you wonder if they're keeping some of that hush-hush as a whole. But the concern, too, is, like you mentioned, Europe. This is not only confined to China. There are some other cases around the world that we need to kind of monitor, because that could ding world feed usage, and that's been the bullish emphasis there. Technically, the corn market and even the bean wheat market all kind of held together here starting out of the week, had the first day of fall. So if you're a voodoo believer and change of season, change in trend, this might confirm that we've got some type of futures contract low in place here for the near term. The other factor, of course, is the Dow was down over 200 points. I don't know if that's totally Chinese concerns, but the idea is that we could see some inflation here due to rising interest rates up to 2 to 2.25%, and we're due for some interest rate hikes as we go into 2019, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you that this is the first day of our fall pledge drive. It's kind of like the first day of harvest for you. We're pretty excited, but we don't know quite what we're going to get, at least not yet, and we're hoping for a bumper crop. However, that depends on you. Actually, it all depends on you, because we need you to pledge your financial support for the agricultural programming that comes to you 5 days a week here on Illinois Public Media. Plus, the weekend program, the podcast, the online versions of everything that happens, including our website. And if it makes a difference to you, if you go there, if you listen to the programming, if you go to willag.org regularly, if you listen on iTunes or you listen on Stitcher or in the NPR One app, however you get information from us, or maybe you're subscribed to our newsletter, which comes out periodically, if all of that makes a big difference to you or a little difference to you, then maybe you can help us out with a little or a big pledge of financial support. Now, this is pretty simple to do. You can do it at 217-244-9455. Just call in and we'll take your pledge. It takes about a minute and a half. You can use Visa, American Express card, any of those charge cards. You can just call in and pledge your support and then write us a check if you want. Send it to us later. However you do it right now. Or you can go to willpledge.org and do all of that online. Make sure that you tell them or write into the comments section that this is in support of agriculture. That's important for me and for you as well, so that we earmark this a little bit, meaning that it's earmarked, they know it came for agriculture. It will help support all the programming, but it helps support agriculture in particular. They want to know, and I want to know, that you're there and listening and supporting. Now, 217-244-9455 is the number to dial. or willpledge.org. I tend to like the $120 level. Some can give more, some a little less. Anything is fine, but just make sure that you give. We don't know what the end of this week will bring for Illinois Public Media. We don't know what it will bring for willag.org. But without your help today, we can't start. And it starts with you. Your first day of harvest was exciting. My first day of pledge drive this year is exciting. But I need your help, and I need it right now. Willpledge.org, 217-244-9455. You know, over the weekend, I caught up with Jim Lowe from the College of Veterinary Medicine here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I and asked him a little bit about African swine fever, beginning with an explanation of the disease.
So ASF is a virus, Todd, that is 100% fatal to pigs. We don't know that there's a vaccine. That virus originated in Africa and really about 10 years ago moved to Europe. And is now moving around Europe and recently has been introduced into China.
Tell me more about African swine flu in Europe.
So the virus is interesting because it survives outside the host really well. And so in meat and meat products or tissue, it lives. So we think the virus was brought to Europe from Africa in some meat. We don't really know for sure, but that's the most likely explanation. About 10 years ago, it was introduced into the wild boar population in Africa. In Europe, and it's circulated particularly in Eastern Europe, starting in Russia. It's endemic in Russia today, and then it's moved into Eastern Europe over time here. It has moved to really in last year to Romania, both in wild boars, and now has gotten into the commercial pig population, and there's a major outbreak in Romania. There was some in Poland, mostly in wild boars, but now the major outbreak is in Romania. And here in the last 10 days, it's moved to Belgium as well. And if you remember your European geography, that's a long way from Romania. So real questions about how that virus is moving around in Europe.
Any treatment for it?
No, we can't vaccinate against it. There is no treatment. It's a virus. And so the strategy has been to stomp it out when it gets in there. And obviously, they've not been very successful. And in Europe, the problem is wild boars. Because those creatures live in the woods, right? And so once it's in that population, it can persist there for a really long time.
Eradicate, kill, clean.
That's right, eradicate the disease. So we'd identify the infected farm, typically draw a ring around it, euthanize the animals inside the immediate ring in that herd, and then quarantine and test around that. That works for diseases that are primarily pig-to-pig transmission without this meat component. But with the people and meat component, particularly in Romania, and I was on the phone to Romania this morning, it's very clear that government practices in terms of killing animals that are infected. In Romania, it's really common for people to only have a pig or two. That's a substance thing. It's a major source of their protein. And so when that pig looks like it's infected, they'll go ahead and slaughter those pigs and put it into meat, then give that to friends or move that meat around the country. And so they've been very ineffective at controlling, and if you just look at the outbreak over the last 8 or 9 months.
No concern about transmission to humans.
No concern to transmission. It's completely, it's only a pig virus, so not pigs, not humans, not sheep or cattle or anything, excuse me.
So how are the pigs getting it then? And I'm wondering about meat transmission and how that gets back to the pig.
So with garbage feeding, where we feed food scraps, and so if I've only got a couple of pigs, as we've done throughout history, human food scraps become the source of food for the pigs. And so as we get that route of transmission, garbage being fed back to the pigs, we're transmitting the virus and infected meat scraps that end up in the food waste.
Is it highly contagious?
So the good news is it takes a big dose, so it's not very contagious, but it lives outside the host for a long time. And there's a tremendous amount of virus in meat, in the muscle tissue itself. So if we move a few ounces of meat into another spot and some of that ends up in the garbage and the pigs eat it, it's almost always infectious. So it doesn't blow in the air. It's not easy to move it with physical contact. But mosquitoes that transmit blood, biting flies that transmit blood, And then meat products appear to be the kind of primary route of transmission of the virus moving around.
How worried should pork producers in the United States be?
Probably really scared, although we don't know what to do about it. It's certainly the hot topic of conversation when I talk to producers and other veterinarians here in the U.S. The big fear, I think, on our side is, we remember PEDV not that long ago. We've done some work, and they believe that that virus came in on feed ingredients, probably soybean meal from China. There is a major outbreak of ASF in China today. They've reported 8 or 9 herds, but that's probably a gross underrepresentation of what's going on. The virus is relatively difficult to detect, and again, a lot of really small individual stakeholders in China. So we've brought one disease from China relatively recently. Boy, you'd hate to think about that again. And then number two, if we go look at the volume of meat confiscated international ports, so we've got Chicago O'Hare here, not very far. If you see those pictures, the amount of food that's confiscated every day that's illegally brought in the United States, it's hundreds, if not thousands, of pounds a day of food that the food dogs find, and so that's confiscated. So I think that's, if we just had to sit back, that's our big risk, that the industry could be on the ball, but we've got a lot of other ways to introduce this virus into the country.
That's Jim Lowe from the College of Veterinary Medicine here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, talking about African swine fever. Hey, have you made that pledge of financial support to WILL, Illinois Public Media, yet in support of ag programming? I hope so. But if not, right now is a great time to do it. $120 would be fantastic. More is better. Less is perfectly acceptable. 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. We're now joined by Greg Johnson of the Andersons to take a look at the marketplace. Thanks for being with us, Greg.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It's good to be here.
Hey, Greg, do you think we have put last week in a bottom for this marketplace on the futures, and then what space has done since then?
Yeah, the futures market appears to have put a bottom in, and we're bouncing convincingly off of that. I think we're probably a good 15 cents off that bottom in corn. Beans, maybe we're only 25 cents off the bottom. So depending on how the China talks go, that low may or may not hold. But corn feels like we put in a bottom based on other years and the time of year and the fact that farmers just don't want to sell. All that kind of makes me think that we've seen a bottom in the corn market. There's still a lot of corn out there to be sold, so that's going to keep a lid on how high corn can go. But at least for the time being, puts a bottom in the market. Basis levels have been extremely weak historically and this time of year. Processors are the only game in town without a bean export market. So bean basis levels reflect that. Farmers don't like it, so they're storing everything they can. And, you know, that has kept the basis from weakening any more this week so far. But they're at extremely weak levels, and it'll probably take until harvest gets towards the end before we see much of an improvement.
How far along are producers, speaking of harvest, in your area at this time?
Right in here, we think due to the hot weather we've had the last 10 days, the corn has really dried down. In fact, the beans have probably dried down too much, so farmers are stuck with corn. We think we're 45% done on corn and only 15% done on beans. I know the farmers are really hoping that we get a little bit of rain and put some moisture back in the beans, and then I think they'll focus on beans for the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
A quick assessment of what yields have been like to this time.
Uniformly excellent in beans. Haven't heard of any disappointing bean yields. They've all either been above average or way above average on the beans. The corn is a little bit more variable. We've had some average yields, some above average yields, and some record yields. But the beans are all on the upside, either way above average or just a little above average.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. I hope you've taken time already, but if not, make that pledge of support, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. When we come back, we'll talk about the weather forecast.
It's National Cherries Jubilee Day. The dessert that today is made with cherries, liquor, and vanilla ice cream was first served at one of Queen Victoria's Jubilee celebrations. The Queen was reportedly partial to cherries. The original dish, though, didn't contain ice cream, but was meant to accompany venison. especially red deer or roebuck. On this day in agricultural history in 1870, Georges Claude was born. A French engineer, he invented the neon light. He first displayed the new light on December 10th of 1910 in Paris. The first U.S. firm to take advantage of the neon sign was a Packard car dealership in Los Angeles. In 1911, Earl Ovington became the first airmail pilot. His first load included 640 letters and 1,280 postcards, all tucked on the plane floor between his legs. In 1920, Mickey Rooney was born, one of our favorite Rooney roles as Shockey Carter in Hoosier Schoolboy. In the film, Mickey plays a farm boy who sticks by his alcoholic father and is helped by a teacher in getting his dad a job driving a milk truck. And in 1923, Nancy Green died. She was hired to represent and demonstrate Aunt Jemima pancake mix. At the 1893 Columbian Exposition in Chicago, the exhibit was so popular that police had to control the crowds at the Aunt Jemima booth. Fair officials awarded her a medal and proclaimed her Pancake Queen. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether out of town or out of time, with Busey's mobile, deposit checks, view balances, and pay people and bills from your device. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and you are part of our solution. Because each and every day we work on your behalf, and we do that in part because you, our listeners, fund us to the tune of about 40%. If not done this before, now it'd be a great time to get started as we begin our fall pledge drive. And we'd like the ag listeners to respond in a big way as you're in the field. 217-244-9455 is the number to call them and tell them you're calling in support of agriculture, or you can just go online at willpledge.org and in the comments section, put down in support of agriculture. The folks at Risk Pulse aren't available this afternoon to take a look at the weather forecast, but here's what it looks like for the Midwest. We'll start in Iowa, where today they're at 79 degrees, and they'll slowly drop off to about 62 degrees by the time they get to Friday. They may have a little rainfall, scattered showers tomorrow in Iowa, but mostly sunshiny skies, and they'll drop down to a low in the low 50s to upper 40s for the week. Springfield, Illinois, to give us kind of a look at what's happening in the state of Illinois. 77 today, 82, maybe a little rainfall tomorrow. 66 on Wednesday, Thursday 71, Friday 72, and by the time we get to Saturday and Sunday, 75 and 80 degrees. Sunshine most of those days. Will drop down to 56 tonight, 66 tomorrow night, 46, 41, 45, 51, and 54 by the time we get to Sunday for the overnight lows. In the third largest corn producing state in the nation, that's Nebraska, they'll be in the 80s today, dropping down to the mid 50s tonight. Like the rest of the Midwest, maybe a few showers tomorrow, 67 for their high, and then they'll kind of stay there with the 68, 74, 63, and 52 by the time they get to Saturday, but under mostly sunny skies, and it'll be really windy in Nebraska on Sunday and Monday. It'll be windy and cold, in fact, on Sunday with a high of just 61 degrees. Their lows somewhere in the low to upper 40s and maybe the low 50s. By the time we get to the weekend for the folks in Minnesota, again, the highs are really kind of low. Starting Friday, only in the 50s, 55, 52, 55. And today they've got some rainfall tomorrow as well, but sunshine the rest of the week all the way through the time we get started on Monday and the work week. And then for Indianapolis, we'll see skies that are, well, 70 degrees and not kind of clear today, but cloudy today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. That sunshine begins to peak out. Thursday, 70 degrees. Friday, 71. Saturday, 73.
and Sunday, 73 degrees. By the time we get to next Monday in Indianapolis, 80 degrees. Fargo, North Dakota, looks like they'll be cold, 59, 56, 63, 54, 49, 55, 47, 49 for the stretch of the week to Monday with their lows in mostly the 40s for the first couple of days, but those lows are 38 on Wednesday evening, 35 on Friday, 34 on Saturday. So it's going to be cold in that part of the world. And the fifth largest corn producing state in the nation is Kansas, where they're warm, 82 today in the mid-60s through Wednesday, and then back in the mid-70s for the rest of the week. They'll be in the mid-50s all week long. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.